So we think about Trinity God. That's the name of our God as Christians. In our family focus slots, we've been thinking about what is God like? How do we get to know him? Through his word, and that God is holy. And now we're thinking about what does it mean for God to be Trinity? Why are we doing that? Because Christianity is a personal faith. It's about getting to know our God and obeying him and loving him as who he is. So we need to know who he is. We can't just make assumptions about that. Imagine, I didn't warn you, but I'm going to pick on June this morning. Imagine we've got someone called June Brain amongst us. You think, well, she's called June. Maybe she's all about the summer. Maybe she's smells of mown lawns. And she's called Brain. She's a professor or a brain surgeon. You can make all these assumptions. Some of them might be true. But it'd be useless, wouldn't it? We want to get to know who she is. She's very lovely, if you don't know who she is. Get to know who she is as her, and so we can relate to her as her. And that's the same with God. We want to get to know who God is as he tells us who he is, and he is Trinity God. So today we're going to see that God is three persons, but there's only one God. And let's start there. There's one God. He is the living God of the Bible. There's no other gods. There's only one God. We know that. So this very famous verses, particularly if you're growing up kind of in a Jewish household, you'd hear these words over and over again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And at the time, of course, this is the one God. There's these people over here worshipping all these gods and these people here worshipping all these gods. You need to know this is the one God. And that's true now, isn't it? We need to know this is the one God. That these people living in these ways, these people living for these things, looking for security, looking for love, looking for value in various places. But there is one God. Accept no substitutes. And we've already sung that he is the one God. He's the God we can trust. He's the tower that we can run to for a refuge. He's the one God. But we also find that we sometimes live for other things as well. So let's have a time of confession, saying sorry to God and coming back to him as our one God. And now I think, are you on the reading, please?
The reading is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, and it can be found in page 1227 of your pew Bibles. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Brilliant. Thank you very much. So who is God? Trinity is who God is. And always Trinity, revealed by God throughout the Bible, including that passage we just had read in 1 John 4. But think, first of all, right at the beginning, Genesis 1, God made the world, and John 1 has a description of creation as well. How did he do it? Well, he made it through his Word, the Word who is God and was God with God in the beginning. He made it in the Spirit, as the Spirit hovered over the formless deeps. The Bible is plain that there is one God, and that our one God is three persons. So to help us understand this maybe a little bit better, we're going to have a little drama of the story of Jesus being baptized. And while we're in COVID land, I need to just use my kids. So you're going to be Jesus. So you're going to stand there with your Jesus label on, and we're going to baptize you. Very tempted to get a bucket of water, but we're going to do it with a blue sheet today. We need a Heavenly Father. And at the baptism, no one actually could see him, but they could hear him. So you're going to disappear off to your chair back there. And you've got a microphone, and you're going to say, "This is my son who I love."
This is my son who I love.
Brilliant. Okay, that's when I say go. And then we have got the Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit sign. Now, do you remember how the Holy Spirit was seen at the baptism? Something like a dove. Yes, that's right. Crafty dove. This is why I'm not in charge of craft in general, but this is a dove. So you're going to be over there, and you're going to, when I say go, it's going to burst up. You're going to fly over and land on him, and you're going to say your words, okay? Are we ready for this? So this is the baptism of Jesus. Okay, so can you duck down? Ready, steady, go!
This is my son who I love.
Yay! Round of applause. Okay, just stay there a second. So here we have God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is an important story for us. It's really special because it's one of the few times in the Bible that we see all three persons of God mentioned happening at the same time. Do you notice? We hear the God the Father. We see Jesus, who's God the Son, getting baptized in the River Jordan. And we see the dove of the Holy Spirit arriving on him all at the same time. We know that the God is Father. That's who we start with, isn't it? Father is fully God. It's God the Father who spoke and created the world in the beginning. We know that Jesus is a man who was born and he lived around kind of Nazareth and Galilee and Jerusalem and all those sorts of places. But we also know that Jesus is God's. A few weeks ago, we thought about this verse. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And he does all those miracles, doesn't he? Showing us who he is. He is exactly God. He always was. Seeing Jesus, we've seen the Father. And we know that the Holy Spirit is God. And later on in the Bible, it talks about treating the Holy Spirit as if we treat God. He is God with everyone who trusts Jesus. We have God living in us by his Spirit. And he works in us, changes our hearts, helps us to be the people that God wants us to be. So God is three: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God with us. And each one really is God. Okay, thank you. You can sit down now. So God is three persons, and he's inseparably one. Can we say that we like Jesus, but we don't really like God the Father? No, they're one in nature. They are all fully God, exactly what God is like. And they're united in salvation. So in our passage we just had read, we had God the Father sending God the Son coming in his mission to save us. They all have the same purpose. They all work together to bring us to God, into God's family. And they're one in love. The Father loves the Son. The Spirit loves the Son and shows him to the world. And the Son loves the Father. There's no cry of mine, this bit's my bit of the work, this bit's my bit of the work. No. And this is why I thought it was worth doing this today on Trinity. It's sometimes kind of just a really hard word that we want to avoid. But actually, God is love. And it's the Trinity that gives us God is love. So we had in our reading, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. God is three. God the Father, Jesus God's Son, and the Holy Spirit God with us. Three persons united in love. So I think almost everyone finds Trinity hard to understand. Some of us have been doing the identity course, which is sort of an introduction to Christianity, and it starts with the Trinity, because that is what God is like. That's what the Bible teaches that God is like, and we know it's true. So I'm going to pray that God will help us with this belief. Dear God, we know that you are the only God. Thank you for giving us the Bible so we can know about all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please help us to believe that this is true, even when we find it hard to understand. Amen. Now we've all got solidly and clearly in our minds the doctrine of the Trinity, one God, three persons. This is actually the most important bit. It's the so what. It's hard to hold in our minds, but it's worth holding in our minds for a number of reasons. And first of all, as we've said, it's believing who God is. That is who God is. God is Trinity. And so if you're going to believe his good news, you better believe who he is. But there are other so what's, and I just wanted to mention three this morning, because three is the number that we're dealing with. The first is about his creation, how he abundantly creates. An interesting question may be to ask, what was God doing before creation? If you know someone, if you've got a friend who has this idea of kind of a godness, it may be someone like a Muslim with a sort of set faith, or it may just be someone generally thinking about godness. What was he doing before creation? And the answer is Trinity. In creation, God gives us the best picture to understand some of his nature. People made in his image. Male and female, he created them to reflect him. And in marriage, there is something of different but the same coming together to show something of God's unity as people coming together. But what was he doing before creation? Was he twiddling his thumbs and waiting? I'm God, and I don't really have anything to do because I don't have people around to boss yet. So what shall I? Oh, I'm going to make some people and boss them around. If he's just creator ruler, it's a good start, but we're going to run into trouble. Starts to sound like someone who needs people in order to be God. But he was Trinity before creation. In John 17, Jesus prays, Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. It's not a small detail. It means things feel completely different. The Father loved the Son before creation. He in no sense needed creation. He wasn't lonely before he made the world. Creation flowed out of the love in the Trinity. Isn't that a brilliant, brilliant thought? You flowed out of something that was already going on, the love in the Trinity. Before creation, the three were loving each other, Father for the Son, Son for the Father, in the Holy Spirit of love. So why creation? Well, it's an outpouring, a glorious sharing in this powerful godly love, because he's generous and he's abundant. Creation has got Father pouring out love for his Son, and that's why creation is so generous. We have extraordinary shapes and colours and abundance, unnecessary abundance of insects and flowers and all sorts of things that are around us at the moment, showing something of God's abundant love in Trinity. That's wonderful, isn't it? A second thought is that it gives us great assurance as Christians. How does God love me? And the answer is Trinity. Like I said, if we look at just the world to discover God, we're going to find a creator. We're going to find one in charge, and that is a good start. But what kind of salvation does that God offer? Problem is, if I have just broken rules, then a ruler can offer forgiveness, and he can treat me like I kept the rules. But it might be a bit like a traffic warden. Imagine, I know you never do this, but imagine if you're speeding down the road in your car and you get stopped and the cop has his book out and you've been found breaking the rules. Then if he lets you off the consequences of those actions, you might feel good. But would you love him? Gratitude, yes, but it's difficult to see how we can love someone who's just a ruler. So then how do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And maybe that's why we sometimes find it difficult, because we feel sometimes get trapped into thinking, well, it's just about rules and I'm breaking them or keeping them and things like that. And it gets worse. If I can pray to an almighty God who's just a creator and ruler, why will he listen to me? It's like a modeler speaking to his model, the potter speaking to his pot. And he might actually be listening to this pot instead, or this pot instead. Why should he listen to me? But if we pray to the Father as his child in Christ, if we have that Trinity picture, then he will listen to us. He is called Father. He's inherently life-giving. Creation wasn't the start of his ongoing giving. He's always from eternity been a father loving a son. He is love in our reading. And if he stopped loving, he would stop being. And his love for us rests on his love for his son, Jesus. It's not a response to how good we're doing. It came first. And we can only love him because he first loved us. So why does God love me? Trinity. In John 17, then the world will know that you sent me, Jesus says, and have loved them even as you have loved me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Can you see what's going on? They've always loved each other. And the gospel, the good news, is drawing us into a love that already existed, not dependent on you keeping the rules, not dependent on you doing well, but because of the quality of love they have within the Holy Family, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I think that's wonderfully assuring. If you ever feel like you might fall out of this love, it's bigger than you are. It's huge. It's God who is love. And one final reason is it attracts critics. Partly that's contrived because I wanted my AC to work really well. But hopefully it makes you think, well, how can it attract critics? Well, it's who are we talking about? What God are we talking about? And it can seem, I don't know if you've seen this in other churches, obviously, but the more you follow God, the more you become judgmental, intolerant of others. Sometimes if you're too keen, you get called a fundamentalist, and being a fundamentalist is no fun at all. It's going to depend on what image of God you have. Christopher Hitchens wrote a book saying, God's not great. Religion poisons everything. Even if God exists, it would be awful because he'd be a big dictator turning us all into little dictators. And he was right. If God is like that, if he's just a dictator, if he's just someone who wants his rules kept, then he'll turn us into little dictators. If he's just lonely and he's made us to have some company, well, then that's like an abusive relationship, isn't it? It's ugly. If that's the picture we have of God's. But God is love. God is Trinity, love. Love God, we become more like him. If he's a Trinity God, he's loving, and as we follow this God, we could become more like the God who's love, and surely then we become such an attractive advert for him. We're not dictators because it's not about rule-keeping. It's about being drawn into God who is love. So a question to ask someone who says, well, how can you really be religious? Isn't religion the cause of all these problems in the world? You ask them, well, what God do you reject? Who is that God that you hate the effects of? It's not the Trinity God who is love. And I guess us Christians, maybe we slip into this. Christian life becomes like doing a job, not for joy, but because we need the money, because we need the boss to let us in to heaven at the end of the life. We've lost sight of who and what God is like. We need to see him. We need to see him as that Holy Family drawing us into a community of love. And if you're worried that sounds a bit cuddly, well, think of him again as king. But what kind of king? Is he the king who just commands? No, he's the king of love. So commands that he gives us are because he loves us and he wants the best for us and he wants the best way of life for us and he wants to bless us and he wants us to bless others. It's good. And the more we love him, then the more we love one another, as we had in that passage in 1 John 4. So if you find yourself becoming judgmental or intolerant, or if it's someone else that you know, think again, who is it that I'm following? It's the God of love. Don't lose sight. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the God who is love. So in summary, obviously I was praying for this a lot. I hope you generally get God is one in three persons, but unity one. Anything else is a bonus. But this is so important, this doctrine of Trinity. John wrote his gospel, and he told us why he wrote it in chapter 20, verse 31. He says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, or the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, if we start with Jesus, we learn that he's the Christ, the anointed one by the Holy Spirit, God's promised one, and he is the Son of God. Jesus points to the Holy Spirit and points to the Father. Similarly, Mark begins his gospel. This is about Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. If we start with Jesus, we get to the Trinity. We proclaim Jesus. We proclaim the Trinity, the Spirit-anointed Son of the Father. God will not fit in the mold of any other. And maybe it's most helpful to keep it dynamic. When I think of one person, Jesus, I remember he's the Son of the Father, and in him I experience God by the Spirit. So I think of the three persons. When I think of the three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I think of them in action for salvation or creation or love. And so I think of them united as one God. 3 to 1, 1 to 3. It keeps being dynamic, just like God is. Before all things, they are love. So God is abundantly creating. He assures the Christian, and I think he can attract critics if you ask them, well, what God do you not believe in? This is Trinity God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the God who is love.